What the hell is going on up here in the north? I swear, it's like one dead thing after another. We finally figure out the puzzle to this damn brazier, and out pops a mummy! At least this one seems amiable. I guess it's time for a night's rest? Next to the mummy. Oh, we are setting a watch for sure tonight. Hope to see you in the morning on this short quest, long rest.
Alright, everyone, welcome back to Short Quest, Long Rest.
Yes!
Where this... There's a word I wanted to use there. I'm not going to. Band of intrepid adventurers. You know what? I was going to call you Chuckle Fucks. Can we cut that out?
No, we're going to leave it right in. This whole thing gets left in, because it was fantastic. Yep. I'd like to be a Chuckle Fuck.
Yep, we're doing it live.
Yep, all right. Doing it live.
Fuck it.
Yep, fuck it, we're doing it live.
Where this band of chuckle fucks has, last session, previously defeated a mighty moose and uncovered through a strange and lengthy puzzle the remains of one of the people that used to reside here. San Nar, who is a mummy, currently curled up around a silver fire in a brazier with the rest of you. You have learned that you will be requiring moonlight to access some of the spaces within the tomb. But as it is almost perpetually overcast and of a different phase of the moon anyway, you found a workaround. Dreamer is preparing something overnight, yeah?
Ah, shit, I forgot.
Lie to me.
I've got it ready.
I left it in town.
Lie to me. I promise I'll believe.
So what I will ask is, as he is making those preparations and you guys need to rest for a bit, what are the thoughts going through everyone's head? Are you putting someone on watch right now? Are you deciding, we're all just going to sleep out here at the edge of the woods, outside this elven tomb where we know that there's likely maybe something hostile still inside? What is the order of events?
Well, I was going to leave it be until you said that.
Yeah, I think Krellical watch.
I feel safe.
You do know that there is a druid somewhere still inside who is responsible for that massive moose that you fought.
And every druid we've ever met has been a nice, helpful person that hasn't killed anyone.
Shit, you're right.
Because all the druids we know fucking murdered people.
Tavini, before she goes to sleep tonight, she's had a little bit to eat, she's going to go over to the closed door where they think the druid is and set out her mess kit on the step, like, just in front of the door, just kind of a trip hazard.
Clever.
Interesting.
Okay.
I like it.
So I will say, as you are you taking anyone with you when you go to set that up, or?
Oh, I'm not.
If anyone wants
herself.
To go with her, she just like kind of gets up with her mess kit, looking like she's on a mission, and off she goes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if she gets up and wanders, Rian's definitely going with her because no one is splitting up in this fucking like evil monstrous tomb.
Is she now? Are you two going to the door? Or are you just putting it on the steps that you initially saw from the main chamber?
Is there more than one door that's closed?
Technically there's one to the south we never checked.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah, there is the one to the south you guys didn't check, and the one to the northwest down a very narrow corridor with a single set of stairs.
Well,
yeah.
Krellick
went down there.
Yeah, he checked the door. It didn't move.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I knew you went down there. I couldn't remember if he actually checked the door or not, which is... seems silly.
If she knows the exit is like there's possible doors, she will do it in the one area that they have to go through to get out, so that hallway.
All right.
She's friggin' smart.
Okay, if you want to draw on the map where you, what 5 foot square, I suppose, well, these are all 20 foot, which space you're going to scatter your stuff in?
Right here.
Oh, okay. Like the entrance to the place itself.
Yeah, since they could come out of down here, or over here, or over here.
Smart. That's smart.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's all what right. There is where she's scattering her stuff, just so, you know, people will trip over it if they try and sneak through.
Yeah, well, while the pair of you are there, you know, sort of laying out the utensils very carefully, there's a lot of debris that has, you know, just scattered all over the floor here from where the wall has been torn up. So, very carefully, in this pile of debris, you're balancing spoons and forks and, you know, a canteen on the edge of the stones, so that if anyone knocks against those stones or they shift at all, it's going to come tumbling down and make some sort of noise. You are not certain you'll be able to hear it from your campsite all the way on the other side of the berm to the east, but you'll at least know if someone passed through.
Yeah.
I like it. But yeah, I assume I would imagine we'd set up watches, you know, and keep an eye out. Cause yeah, this place is just cause we killed the moose. Again, we know, we have an idea that there's something else around here that we've heard, you know, about this druid and that, you know, and then of course, you know, just because we have this friggin' mummy that seems to be nice, that doesn't mean shit. Like we just woke her up from her whatever. We're like, hey, you seem cool. And, you know, she could try to murder us at night. Who friggin' knows?
I can tell you this. Felgrin will be wandering around in the woods.
Interesting. Okay.
All right. Yeah, so while Tavini and Rian are off doing that, Felgrin, as you are pacing the edge of the woods, are you at least keeping in sight of that campfire? You know, that brazier you're all seated around? Are you going out of sight of the others?
I mean, he might. It depends. It
depends if you have an encounter prepared.
No, he's... I think he's looking for a furry companion to speak to. And I think during this trek, whether he knows it or not, would accidentally, through chaotic magic, cast his animal companion. Or his familiar.
Find familiar!
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's something he does consciously. I think it just happens as he's kind of looking. So that's what I would like to do.
Alrighty.
But yeah, if he wanders at it, he's not going to actively try and stay within sight. So no.
Gotcha.
Whether that sucks for me or not, we'll see.
I mean... Would I be that type of person?
Yes.
Depends.
Yeah, you're fair. Mm-hmm. That's fair. Mm-hmm. Don't give me that! you can quit your snickering! Alright. Well, as you are wandering through the woods, you are at times passing over the... leftover trails in the snow from creatures that had left the tomb with the demise of their protector, the great white moose that has long been terrorizing the lonely wood. Every set of tracks you pass, you pause for a moment, and you're not entirely sure, you're not really an outdoorsman, and it's hard to gauge in the snow whether you're looking at rabbit tracks or fox tracks, or you did see a bear at one point, but that went south, and I really doubt it could have circled north. Maybe. I'd like you to give me a survival check.
Good.
You're great at it.
Hey! 19 hey, on the die.
Yep, 19 on the die, 19 for the score, because fucking bonus is 0.
Yep.
Alright.
Love it.
Well, as you are rooting around. You know, you're checking under bushes that have no leaves on them anymore. It's just snow piled up, all their branches heavy with the stuff and the tips blackened from having been so long exposed to the frost that they're just dead. You're peeking underneath a bush where it seems like there's been some ground cleared out, and hardly inches from your nose pops up a bright orange face with pointed ears and a long snout, very luxurious fur. He stops inches from your face as you're kind of looking under this bush and you realize you're outside of a foxhole.
Oh, well, good evening there.
Hello. Sorry to...
Were you about to come in? I don't have room for someone you're like.
No. But you could come out. Yes?
You see him cock his head to the side for a moment, and then he looks out either side of the hole. And stepping out, you see a fox that does not have the telltale white coat of the other foxes you've seen in this area. Nor even some of that brown speckling you see of an Arctic fox. This is one straight out of, say, the Southlands, the more temperate forests on the other side of the mountains that separate the Dale from the rest of society. His coat, luxurious long fur, very floofy, immaculately groomed. And every time that he turns his head, there's almost a shimmer to it. There's something quite unnatural about this fox. It doesn't... that stands out immediately to you. I think if you would like to introduce your animal companion.
His name is Finnegan, and he's a red fox. The handsomest red fox in the world.
Out of sight of the rest of the party, Finnegan finishes emerging from this hole under the bush where you've been kind of like, you realize now on hands and knees, looking underneath as if almost expecting that hole to be there. And as soon as he has emerged from the earth, it seals up behind him, leaving bare snow in its wake. Finnegan sits on the ground and curls his tail around him as if trying to keep warm. And sitting very tall, you realize he's a bit larger than other foxes, where they might come up to just above your knee, sitting upright. Finnegan is almost as high as your waist.
Wow, he's big.
He's a big boy. Kind of puffs out his chest a little and looks around.
He'd sit down in the snow, I think. With
him. I heard you calling. You know, you're,
Then he stops and stretches for a moment.
I have to say, I've been waiting for you to call me for, quite a bit here.
Have you?
Yeah. Well, Foxlord told me to keep an eye out for you, but I didn't think he'd make me wait so fucking long.
He kind of smiling. How's Dad?
Oh, he's doing great. Your mom says hi.
Huh. He's saying more than that, but just, she's too polite to say it in public.
Oh. I mean, there was also a lot of hugging and kissing. Like, oh, could you pass that on to the lad, but...
Don't do that. Thank you. That's very kind. Yes. I think I'll wait for those.
I mean...
And he kind of looks over his shoulder to where the foxhole had sealed up.
You find a natural one of those. Maybe you could squeeze your way down.
That's an interesting idea. Yeah, I've thought of that before.
I mean, how else do you think foxes stay out of sight of all the big boys up here? All holes lead back to the warren.
Fair, but I'm not a fox.
From what we've been hearing back in the Feywild, it's been not so nice.
In general, no. You have to find moments.
Been hearing a bit about your exploits from my little cousins.
Yeah, it's getting around. Speaking of, I should probably be getting back.
Well, your friends, then.
Mm-hmm.
Heard a bit about them, not so much. As, you.
Yes, well, that is not uncommon. And it won't be if I have something to say about it.
Right. Is that them? And he kind of sticks his nose in the air, and even though you can't see through the woods to the spot where everyone's kind of huddled around that brazier, you can distinctly see your own tracks leading off that direction.
Yes, I imagine they're huddled around the fire or something. Probably annoyed that I wandered off.
Oh, I think we're going to give them much more to be annoyed about.
He just smiles, like, looking forward to that.
You hear off in the distance, where the fuck is Felgrin?
Well, that's
carries through the woods and echoes off the trees.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, like I said.
You want me to chew a hole in his bag or something?
Yes, but wait until he's asleep. With the dwarf, you could probably do it while he's awake.
He that inattentive?
Well, depends on if he's eating. It's a very loud experience.
I'll keep my ears open.
You won't have to. You'll hear it from a mile away. He's one who enjoys his snacks.
Finn pauses for a moment. His head goes to one side and he seems to be thinking,
right, I'll think of something for him.
Better be good. And he just kind of gets up and starts walking towards camp.
Finnegan pops up and trots along at your heels, and as he does, looking at him, that distinctive shimmer that his fur has, you realize it's not necessarily magic that you're seeing, though you are growing aware the more you talk with him and kind of settle into a familiar routine with the creature that you've only just met, that you're seeing the shadow of leaves and branches from a forest that you can't see falling over his fur.
That's awesome.
Trotting alongside you, it is almost as if he is half within the Feywild.
Gotta learn how to do that.
Yeah, better watch out, Adam. He coming for your snacks.
Probably much nicer in there, eh? Not as cold. All the time.
I mean, I've got this very, very nice fur. It's different being in the shape on the side.
Is it?
Aye.
I'll tell you, they and don't gives make you this... make them as big as you here. Surprised by that. Very big.
He gives you this very knowing smile. Just the same sort of smartass look that you know from experience drives the others nuts.
Oh, Jesus.
Now wield it against yourself.
Well, stick with me, and, you know, we go back to see your mom, his lordship. Could be that, you actually see what makes a fox like me so big.
Looking forward to it.
Continues trotting along beside you, and as you leave out of the tree line, Tavini and Rian are coming back from the mouth of the tomb. And the three of you sort of converge around the silver brazier at the same time, where Dreamer and Krellic are sitting there with a mummy who is stock still like a statue across the fire from the pair of them. Rian and Tavini and all the others, there is a very large red fox in the snow beside Felgrin there when he comes up.
Where the hell did you go? And who the hell's that?
A friend.
Friend.
His name is Finnegan.
Oh. Found another fox? He's a big one, goddamn.
It's different.
But he's different.
He just kind of looks at him, but, yes. From the Feywild, I think. Smell it on him.
Oh, interesting. Where'd you dig him up?
In a hole in the ground.
The Feywild.
Yes. Feywild, exactly. Dreamer gets it.
I don't.
Yeah, you acted like it. You were very convincing.
I believed you for a half a second, but then again, I never really understand the things you say. Even when you're saying the thing that's happening, like just plainly saying it, it still feels alien and foreign to me. But
it could be, a guess. But I think he's going to be sticking around.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you'll like him. He talks like you, only better.
Huh? Well, I don't know how I feel about that. I like to think I have a way with words. I kind of look to the group and I'm like, don't I?
No, yes, what? Of course you do, and just grips your shoulder and walks past you.
As you say this, Rian, And as Felgrin grabs your shoulder, the fox gives you a very sardonic look. And none of you can hear his response except Felgrin. Oh, poor lamb. He thinks he can talk well.
Yes, well, you'll realize that every now and then a bit of philanthropy is called for. Even for sorry saps like him.
The fuck? Sorry, Sap.
Oh, he's all right. I just like giving him a hard time.
Oh, this still is gonna that. Go you after his snacks.
He does get worked up. It's very funny.
All right. Finnegan will follow you wherever you go, Felgrin, as you get yourself situated around the fire there. As for Krellic and Dreamer, anything you guys were up to while the others were gone?
Krellic's not taking his eyes off the mummy. He does not like it at all.
This mummy's giving me the creeps.
And Dreamer is probably playing 20 questions with the mummy. Just trying to learn everything about what she knows about the druidic arts.
It's very interesting because when she sat down beside the fire, she sort of tucked her legs up under herself, knees pointed forward, and is sitting very erect and proper. Hardly moves at all. You know, you don't see any of that, even those small movements that people tend to have when they're sitting there that are caused by breathing or by turning their head or adjusting their posture. There's none of that with this person. The only movement is from what little breeze there is ruffling the edges of the wrappings that she's in, stirring up that scent of pumpkin spice. But when you go to ask her questions, Dreamer, her head turns almost imperceptibly your direction. Nothing else moving with it. It's a very familiar gesture to anyone that's been around Dreamer for long. Was there something you wanted to know? You seemed to want to ask questions.
When you were running this enclave, or back in your time, how did you feel about civilization?
Wasn't much to be had here. Pick remote places like this precisely because there are no people.
Would you have attacked them had they existed in the vicinity?
That is a difficult question. Because it's our responsibility to take care of the wild places from things that act upon them that they cannot act upon themselves. Druid's job is not to impose their own ideas of what should be, but to make things fair. I do not believe in attacking settlements. I don't know if my sisters would have felt the same.
The Dreamer will nod, semi-satisfied with that answer.
Is it just me, or are they just all... No offense, he says to the... What was her name? Sanam?
Sanar.
Sanar. No offense. Are they all... Are you all... They're all weird, right? You speak, like, cryptically, almost. Like, is it like a rule?
Seems that way, doesn't it?
Like a tenant? Or is it just not being around people, just other druids?
Aye, it's like the chicken and the egg thing.
Is that?
Like which came first?
I'm genuinely curious. I don't mean to be insulting. I often don't. It just happens. But I'm curious.
Sure it does.
I think Dreamer's just weird. She seems, like, just cryptic. But is that a mummy thing? Huh.
I don't think that being turned to this changed who I was. But I also don't know whether or not it would have.
Well, I suppose that's fair.
I remember who I am. I have all my memories, I think. But as for the emotions attached, I cannot be certain.
Fair enough.
Death does strange things, you know.
That was very cryptic.
See again. I don't plan to know, but I'll take your word for it. I don't want to
live in forever, eh?
Well, I don't plan on dying soon. But yes, I suppose I will. Eventually. Or I could become a spirit in the Feywild. That would be interesting.
I mean, you could stick around on this plane and fuck with him. And he kind of... Finnegan tips his head towards Rian.
The fuck?
He just laughs.
Rian, all you know is that the fox just kind of jerked its head your direction. Like, get a load of this guy.
He feels very uncomfortable. Like, he knows if it's associated with Felgren that only shenanigans can be had.
I don't have to be dead to do that, but it's good to know I can keep doing it.
Yeah, I think you were going to ask, Eric, what does it look like when Felgren and Finnegan are talking?
Yeah, what does it look like when Finnegan... is it just telepathically?
He does have expressions associated with it, okay. But yes, he is just telepathically speaking to you.
Okay, fair enough.
Now, can Felgren talk back to him telepathically, or is he saying all this out loud?
Oh, he's saying it all out loud. He doesn't care.
Nice. Interesting. Okay, so when you're like, yeah, he's a fucking sad sack, it's obvious.
Yes.
You're referring to fucking Rian. Awesome.
Yes. He's saying it all out loud. He doesn't care at all.
So you're going to get a lot of what the fucks in the future.
If he's trying
to be... What the fuck?
Of course, if he's trying to be subtle, he'll... I will specify if he's using it telepathically. If I don't, he is saying it out loud.
Nice.
Any time in the past that Felgren has communicated with foxes in front of the rest of you, he's spoken to it. That's and it's true. Just sat there and seemed to respond to him. And it is the same in this instance.
Cool. Okay. That's awesome.
Meanwhile, Miri is off in the semi-dark at the very edges of the campfire, sort of up on the berm.
Mm-hmm.
Coiled up at its edge, watching the rest of you, the end of her tail hanging down.
Mm. Oh, yes, I suppose I should have warned you, there is a dragon.
Oh yeah, we've been keeping up to speed.
Oh, right. Right, yes.
Yeah.
Well, go introduce yourself.
Finnegan goes bounding over to the base of the berm and looks up at Miri. She's laying there with sort of like half-closed eyes, very plainly drifting off, until Finnegan gives a small happy yap, and one of those eyes peeks open and she looks down.
Oh, hey, do we have a new friend?
Miri stretches and yawns, and she starts to get up to, you know, come down to the ground beside you guys. But Finnegan barks up at her again, and you hear Felgren, no, you stay right there, I'll go around. And he goes dashing off towards the stairs, and after a short while, you see his head sort of popping up over the lip of the berm, like hers is. And he just kind of sits down beside her. And Miri is watching this fox with the sort of look of a sleepy toddler on her face. But as he kind of leans against her side, she shrugs it off and just goes back to sleeping.
Hi. Do not tell Rian, but this episode of Short Quest Long Rest is sponsored by Rat Trap Games. They have affordable little pieces and mats to create scenes in your games with lots and lots of flexibility. Oh, we call them scenics. They are easy to store and set up. You do not have to paint them or assemble them like complicated little puzzles. There are also books and dice. Oh, shiny. And many more things you can use in your stories. And if you use SQLR21, that's SQLR21, you get 10% off. Quick though, before Ian finds out. Thank you, Rat Trap.
Oh, I heard that. Ugh. One more time, that's rattrapgames.com. And enter the code SQLR21 at checkout for 10% off your purchase. Now, back to the adventure.
Getting along famously.
Oh, that's nice to see. Well, so is this like the thing Dreamer did? You know, when we talked about that, as far as the down in the cave where he went and murdered his own owl.
It feels like it. In the gut, I feel a connection.
Interesting.
I didn't murder the owl.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's right. It was everything else he murdered. My apologies.
Yes, yeah. He murdered everything else and de-summoned the owl.
Yes, that's right, because you said it was like sending it home. Sorry. Again, still new to me. I'm trying to learn all the intricacies of the magic and stuff like that.
I don't pretend to understand any of that.
But
Felgren, roll me a dexterity saving throw.
This will be fun.
It begins. Sure. Saving throw. Bam. 11.
Not bad. 11.
So as you go to poke fun at Dreamer for killing off that cave of kobolds, from the direction of Miri and Finnegan, you hear a faint whooshing sound and you move your head out of the way just in time to avoid being struck in the back of the head by a snowball that lands in the brazier and immediately gutters out.
Turn around.
The pair of them kind of look at each other and Miri goes back to pretending to be asleep.
You're not fooling anyone.
What? Did they just extinguish the...
No.
Nope.
Okay.
A little bit of hissing and guttering, but yeah, it doesn't go out.
Hit anybody else. Hit him, points at Dreamer. He doesn't care. Probably wouldn't even feel it.
No response from up there.
Also no response from Dreamer, I'd imagine.
Dreamer looks offended.
Well, you don't ever seem cold, so that's all I'm saying.
That's got a good point.
If you are, you don't show it. This is going to get annoying, he looks at Rian.
Hey, you started this.
I know.
I have a feeling you get a lot of things that backfire on you as things go on.
All of the time.
Ah, yeah, that's right. You got this. Plus with the mild magic and everything. Man.
Yes, it's my lot in life.
Well, at least up to this point, it hasn't been too terrible. Just a beard and a hot coin and...
And your dragon gnawing my ears off.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that one.
I didn't. Oh. It hurt a lot.
Well, we'll make it through. A snowball to the back of the head isn't that bad. I mean, if that's the worst, it could happen. I mean, I was going to, like, give some other instances, but I feel like that's just tempted fate. So... I'll just keep those things to myself.
Well, anything worth doing has risk attached.
There you go. Ah, there's some bright side to look on things.
Anyway.
Hey.
I'm going to sleep.
Aye, me too. We'll get some rest. Who's taking first watch?
I'll take it.
Aye.
Alrighty. So, Krellick, if I could get a perception check. And is anyone staying up with him?
No. I'm gonna shut down until it's my turn.
Uh-oh.
A 6. Alright.
Yay, Sonar's helping.
And sorry, Dagny, did you say Tavini was staying up as well, or?
Yeah, she's staying up with Krellick.
Alright, could I get a perception check?
Yeah.
Not bad.
15. So, while the others lay out their bedrolls or power down to sleep, Tavini, Krellick, and weirdly your new mummy companion, Sanar, are all sitting up around the silvery brazier. Sanar is not moving at all, as she was before, just staring into the silver flames. But Tavini and Krellick, you know, a pair of you are looking about, checking the edge of the woods, scanning for any signs of movement. Krellick, to your eyes, nothing happens. All you hear is the creaking of tree limbs as wind blows through the pines. And occasionally, the distant call of an owl. Tavini, you, watching the edge of those trees, catch, about half an hour into your watch, the silent shape of an owl swooping low from one tall tree to another across the edge of the forest. And very briefly, it ducks and touches the snow. And you see it strike at something in the snow. But when it goes flying off, continuing eastward, you don't see anything in its claws. The first watch passes otherwise uneventfully. And it's time to wake up the next pair of people, or next person for watch. Who's taking the second one?
I got it.
Well then, Krellick will walk over and nudge him. Time to get up.
Hey, that was a good couple hours. Okay, no, I'm good. Okay, here we go.
Are you waking Miri to sit up with you, or?
No, he's gonna do his own, because I think he's gonna actually, well, wait a minute, how many do we do 4 2-hours, right?
Yep.
Okay, so that's, I'll just let her sleep. Just gonna hang out myself and, maybe have a chat with, old Sonar.
Alright, so Tavini and Krellick, you settle down into your bedrolls. And, yep, perception check from Rian, 16 there.
Nice.
The forest is similarly quiet for you. And after about half an hour or so, Sonar starts to turn her head and she looks at the edge of the forest. It used to be so quiet in my time.
The forest was.
Woods are always quiet, but this...
I think that puts him on edge a little bit. And he'll, he'll take out one of his long sword and start taking the whetstone to it and, like, sharpening it. And just in keeping his eyes trained on the thing, because quiet usually means something about. He'll just continue to engage with her. And, like, so, back in your day, what was the forest like? Say, you ever dealt with anything like this perpetual night going on?
Okay, well, not a perpetual night, but we had our long periods of darkness. Sun would sometimes only be up for a few hours, but never perpetually gone. How long has this been going on?
Well, from what we've heard, it's been about a year. It's been going on. We've only been up here maybe a month or so. It's funny, we all started off as just delivery boys. Or people, I should say. Picked up a couple of stragglers along the way, and before we know it, we're taking on liches, fighting monsters of all sorts, saving people on top of mountains. It's been quite the experience so far.
You don't really see any changes in Sanar's expression. You know, it is completely immobilized from age and desiccation. But you do hear concern creeping into her voice. And it's a year, it's no wonder it's so quiet out there.
Aye.
It's a wonder not everything's starved yet.
Well, it's actually a good point. I didn't even think about that. I say, animals rely on food. Food from plants. Plants still need sun, even in the snow.
You know how deer feed themselves in the winter?
Oh, actually I'm not aware.
Root around in the snow on the ground, for grass lying underneath. It would be alright for a few months, maybe. But a year. I think I know why the forest is so quiet.
I think I can make my own inferences on that now, too, but... But, it's one of the reasons why we're up here. We're trying to figure out what's causing this. Hopefully put a stop to it.
Your band.
I think we're, for the most part, we're all pretty much on the same page. Just, seems like everywhere we go, everybody's just, they're trying to live with it, and no one does seem to be doing anything actually about it, so at some point, somebody's got to do it.
That's very noble of you.
I wish I could claim noble causes and greater good, but, my little one up there, Miri. So I came up here to find her a safe place to live, away from some folks that might want to get her back. And if I can't live peacefully up here, then there's no place for me to hide. So the quicker I can clear all this up and make the north just a little bit more safer, perhaps I can settle down somewhere with her and let her grow up to be nice, big, and strong, and then she can go wherever the hell she wants.
Sonar gives a barely perceptible nod of her head, just a single motion, and then turns away from staring at the tree line to just kind of gaze into that brazier again. The rest of your watch passes uneventfully, the forest utterly silent. that owl from Tavini's watch long since passed. You could still see the tracks of the smaller animals that had fled northward into the woods. There's not been any snowfall to cover those up, and they're very distinct. There is a brief moment where you kind of spend some time wondering how they're going to do out there. But your watch passes, and it's time to wake up the next person. Who's taking third?
I suppose that's me.
Yeah, I was going to say. I'd say it most likely Falcon. I was trying to remember what Dreamer's hours thing is, but I think it's he needs six, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so yeah, then it would be, I'd give Felgren a little jostle. And oh. Like, hey, wake up, Sleeping Beauty, it's your
really?
Turn. No, I'm just joking, you go back to bed.
He just kind of sits up. Go to sleep, you and your stuff will be fine.
Wait, what?
He just kind of claps you on the back.
God, I hate it when he does that. I never know when he's being truthful or not. God damn it. He's
never mumbles. Will.
So he goes and lays down. And he takes his bag and kind of like hugs it, like pulls it into his chest, like as he lays down. He's like, God damn, Felgren. I'm not going to be able to sleep now. Son of a bitch.
All right. So, Felgren, the moment that you sort of approach the brazier and sit down to enjoy its warmth and start your watch, it's only about a minute before you hear the very, very faint crunch of snow from behind you. And through your link with this fox that you have summoned, this entity from the Feywild, you can tell that Finnegan is behind you. And sure enough, he comes creeping up the stairs of the gazebo there to come and sit beside you.
Morning?
It's not yet morning, I don't think.
Not yet. It feels like it.
He's looking very, very intently at Krellick.
Mm.
He a heavy sleeper.
Well, is he, Adam?
Oh, probably.
He's on old. Logs.
He's old.
He seems like it. Yes. You have something in mind?
Not for tonight. Just filing that away, you know.
Future reference.
Gives this very, very vulpine grin. This very broad, toothy look.
Well, keep an eye out. Stealing from them is one thing, letting them die is another.
I mean, I would not be so, I wouldn't want to leave you alone out here.
That would be nice.
Alright. Finnegan, sitting beside you, sort of perks up his ears and, you know, they twitch in the direction of any sounds that he might pick up. As a fox, he has advantage on perception checks for hearing to assist you with your watch.
Hooray!
Hell yeah.
So, a 20 and a 12.
Oh, I did dexterity. Whoops.
Meh.
Perception. That's better.
Nice.
There we go, 19. Yeah, you know, the pair of you are just keyed up. You are in tune with the forest around you. And as heightened as your senses are relying on one another, nothing happens. And after a time, your watch draws to a close, and it would be time for Dreamer to sit up or someone else to take charge.
Well, that was a waste of some serious mojo.
Oh, the 19 roll?
Yeah, well, yeah, because they were like in sync. He's just commenting on that nothing happened.
Well, you know, it's always good to be prepared.
True. He's kind of casually walking over to Dreamer, and he reaches out to kind of knock on his head. It's up to Dreamer whether or not he wakes up before that happens.
No, you'll knock on his head.
Okay, clunk, clunk, clunk.
His eyes will flicker open, he'll look up at you.
Your turn.
Okay.
You have fun with your weird conversations with Sinar.
They're not weird.
They're a little weird. And he kind of walks off to where he was sleeping.
I can hear you.
He just kind of waves over his shoulder.
Finnegan goes and joins you at the base of the berm. And before he lays down, he starts scraping away at the snow and exposes a bare patch of earth for him to lay down on. I don't want it soaking through my coat, you know.
Yes, maintenance is important.
I mean, it takes a lot of upkeep to look this gorgeous.
Preach.
Oh, Jesus.
He just kind of closes his eyes and leans his head back.
Finnegan has arranged himself so that he's able to essentially sleep so that his belly is on top of your head, so he's like trying to keep warm around your scalp and just happens to also keep you warm in the process.
It's like a fox hat.
Two dreamers like a and hat. Two Felgrins.
That's right.
Yep.
We're just gonna boost each other's confidence constantly.
Yeah.
It's an infinite.
That's what you guys needed.
Yes. Desperately. You guys don't recognize his beauty enough.
Oh my god, it's like looking in a mirror.
Yeah. Hey, you're the one playing that mirror.
All right. Dreamer, are you doing anything on your watch?
I'm mostly just on watch.
Okay.
Any questions that I had were answered.
Gotcha. So if you want to roll me a perception check. Because Sinar just rolled a 4.
I rolled a 1!
But still ended up louder or better than fucking Sinar.
Yeah. Even with the 1, you still roll twice as well as she does.
8 total.
Alright.
Yeah. Indeed. Well, this is when the orc horde descended upon us.
How did you know? So after a few minutes of kind of like cursorily scanning the forest, you look over your shoulder at the berm where you see that the new fox companion of Felgrin is currently curled up around his scalp. You fall into conversation with Sinar and overnight talk a little bit about the Dale, how she remembers it. You wind up comparing some of the geography features she describes to those that you've experienced so far on your journeys, and realize that though it's been a very long time for her, the Dale has not physically changed much. It is one of those timeless places. There does come a moment, however, when she stands up and looks to the northwest. Was there something moving over there?
Was there?
Looking, you don't see anything. And after a moment, she sits back down, again tucking her knees underneath herself. I must be jumpier than I thought. Surprising to find that. Your friend Rian said that you'd be trying to solve this problem of perpetual night here in the Dale. What are your plans with that?
I imagine the Dale is quite beautiful in the daylight. I would like to see it.
I have a proposal for you. From what your friends were speaking of and the conversation you had before everyone went to sleep, you are a druid much like those I knew before my death. Am I correct in assuming that?
Yes.
I won't be able to assist you much on your attempts to solve this problem. But if you bring me the heartwood of an ent, I can make you something that would help you on your journey.
Would I need to harm an ent to bring you heartwood?
Preferably not. In fact, I would take umbrage if you did. But we familiarize ourselves with the use of those who are gone. It does an ent less good to just leave its corpse lying than to see that its components are used for protecting others. I doubt you'll find one just lying dead around, but in the rare chance that you do, or if you can find one to give you it willingly.
If perhaps I have the opportunity, I will do as you ask. But for now, if our path does not bring us back this way, I do not know if we will see each other again.
She rocks back a little, as if surprised, and you can even hear it in her voice when she speaks again. I was not thinking of remaining here.
Is this not your temple, your tomb?
I don't know whether you have much experience with the living, but they do not have much enjoyment for remaining around places that remind them of their death. Or of death, I should say. In my case, my death. I could linger here. Don't want to. You don't have to take me with you far. Just someplace where I'm not here.
This temple, this place, might remind you of your death. But your life is also tied to this place. And he'll gesture towards the brazier. If that goes out, you won't get this second chance to live.
I think I'm willing to take that risk.
If that is your choice.
I can say with some certainty that I've already faced the uncertainty of when my death would come once. It does not scare me a second time.
Dreamer doesn't have any more to add to that.
And Sanar is similarly quiet as your watch winds down and the others start to stir after a long rest. As per usual, the aurora paints itself across the sky, illuminating everything from darkness to now dim light in shades of shivering greens and blues and violets.